New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got
him. Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
What a weird, weird Sunday it was. Jared Goff threw for 517 yards, and he goes into Sunday Night Football as QB9 in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Joe Flacco threw 3 more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes. DeAndre Hopkins threw more interceptions than Matt Ryan. Leonard Fournette rushed for 225 yards, and he will not be a top 5 running back in PPR this week. Those were just some of the crazy things that we saw in week 4. Heath, wasn't it crazy out there?
You didn't even hear the weirdest thing. Jamie was here waiting for you.
Heath and Jamie think I was late to the podcast. I was just trying to be extra prepared. It took me 15 minutes to write out that intro, and it was worth it, you know?
That took you 15 minutes?
No, it took me one. Jamie, what's up?
What's up?
Crazy
weird week.
Crazy week, right? A little weird. Yeah.
Very, very weird. You know, hopefully you guys still won your majority of your fantasy leagues, but you know, it's always a strange week when Patrick Mahomes does not score a touchdown. It's only happened 2 other times in his 21 start.
That he has not scored a touchdown?
Yep. This was the second time, excuse me.
Oh, what was the first time?
His first start ever, week 17 of the 2017.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I knew he didn't throw for one against the Jaguars, but he ran for one in that game, I think in week 2 of 2018. All right, so I think that we have to start the show with the mega duds because there were a lot of them. Here we go with the mega duds. I got a quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, and a flex, and a tight end. I call this the Floptimal lineup. It is so funny. Tom Brady is our Floptimal lineup quarterback. He scored 4 fantasy points. He had 150 yards and an interception at Buffalo. This is after 31, 28, and 24 fantasy points. Is this just a bad game, Heath, or is there anything to see here with Tom Brady?
I think it's a couple of things. It's 1, a bad game, and 2, a fantastic opponent. The Buffalo Bills' pass defense is for real. Julian Edelman wasn't quite 100%. The offense wasn't working quite as well as it was supposed to. But Brady's still going to be a borderline number one quarterback rest of the season.
All right. Jamie, let's look at the running backs. David Montgomery.
I want to thank Heath for a second, though, okay. Because during our FFT show today, we had a rankings discrepancy with Kyler Murray and Tom Brady. And I thought to myself after Heath said Kyler should be better than Brady, I was like, you know, you're right. And I didn't move Kyler ahead of Brady. I just moved Brady behind Kyler. So I dropped him down like 4 spots. I think I had him 14th to begin with. I think I dropped him to 18th. And so I appreciate you helping me with that decision to sink Brady even further.
Can I tell you something? I was a little surprised that you didn't sink Case Keenum, that all 3 of you, including, you know, you 2 and Dave, didn't sink Keenum with McLaurin out.
I don't recall. We all sunk Case Keenum. What are you talking about?
No, you did it.
Yeah, we all did first.
We should have sunk both the quarterbacks in that game. They were terrible.
Well,
all 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah. Both Redskins were definitely terrible. No, I was just
3
surprised.
3 bad quarterbacks.
Okay, Heath. Yeah, sure. All right, Jabe, I'll give you the running backs. David Montgomery.
I don't know. Daniel Jones had 10 more fantasy points than Tom Brady did.
So Montgomery, look, it's not like he was terrible, but he, you know, I'm looking at guys who were actually started in a number of leagues. He was started in 69% of leagues. 21 carries, 53 yards, and 3 catches for 14 yards against the Vikings. Marlon Mack, he did get hurt, but he had 11 carries for 39 yards, and he played a lot of this game. And just, you know, he just struggled. So he's not as good in losses, and they lost to the Raiders. Anything to say about Montgomery and Mack?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't put Phillip Lindsay on this list, too. He had a dud as well.
That's true. I actually, see, Heath, I did this segment before the end of the games so I could get the show started earlier, and that's why Phillip Lindsay.
So you made us wait for not having complete information.
Wow.
I guess that's somewhat true. But yeah, well, they barely had the ball. Broncos had the ball for like 23 minutes or something, and Lindsay only had, I think, 9 carries. Sure, he could be our super flex. Montgomery, Marlon Mack, and Philip Lindsay struggled.
I think with Mack, you know, the injury is clearly something you got to keep an eye on. But this, the fact that the Raiders went up early was a bad game script for him. You know, I know that they had the same thing in week one against the Chargers and they kept running the ball. But, you know, when they got behind, it was almost like, okay, now we'll sort of see if this is the same test for this Colts offense. Will they continue to lean on the run? As long as he's healthy, you're going to go back to him and start him. And the matchup next week against the Chiefs, as we saw for Kerryon Johnson, you can run on the Chiefs, even though it'll be in Arrowhead. It won't be as good for Marlon Mack, but if he's healthy, you're still playing him.
Where are you on David Montgomery right now?
I like that he's getting to work. You know, I think the best is still yet to come, so I'd put him in the buy low category.
Okay, yeah. I mean, 21 carries is great, and you shouldn't expect it too much against Minnesota. Heath, let's take a look at the wide receivers. This is where it gets fun. This is where it gets interesting. Odell Beckham, 2 catches, 20 yards on 7 targets, and read that he threw a punch. I didn't see that, but apparently he threw a punch. And DeAndre Hopkins, 5 catches, 41 yards on 8 targets. So this is now his last 3 games, 16 catches, 148 yards, no touchdowns on 22 targets, a 23% target share for DeAndre Hopkins, who in 3 of his last 4 seasons, his 3 great seasons, he's been at 31% or higher target share. And in his last 3 games, it's 23%. Who are you more worried about, Beckham or Hopkins?
I'm more worried about Hopkins relative to where I had him at the start of the year, because I had Hopkins as the number one wide receiver, and I think I had Beckham at 7 or 8. But I would still rather have Hopkins than Beckham. Listen, it does look like the influx of weapons in Houston and currently healthy weapons in Houston are cutting into DeAndre Hopkins' target share. I also think it might be a little bit underrated how good Carolina has been against the pass so far this year. Coming into week 4, they were actually 2nd in the NFL, allowing 5.3 yards per pass attempt. They were very good against the pass in this game as well. So it's been a little bit of a rough start for Hopkins. I still expect him to be very good. I still think Hopkins is going to be a number one wide receiver as well. Or Beckham is going to be a number one wide receiver as well. I'm not as worried about these guys as I am someone like maybe like the Minnesota wide receiver.
So let's look at Hopkins from the standpoint of Mike Evans going into the Giants game struggling. Great matchup. What did he do? He blew up. Devontae Adams going into the Eagles game. Great matchup. He blew up. What does Hopkins have coming up this week?
The Falcons. Yep.
Buy low. The big performance is coming.
I'm just wondering if you're concerned about the target share, because he played 4 games last year with Fuller and QT. And in those 4 games, he had a 29% target share, which is not quite the 31 or more that he's had in the other seasons. But again, 23% in his last 3 games. Kenny Stills did get hurt early in this one. I don't know.
They're coming off a loss where they did not play well. I think this is going to be, you're going to hear Bill O'Brien, you're going to hear Deshaun Watson, you're going to hear Hopkins. Mm-hmm. This is the squeaky wheel game. It's coming.
Okay. And it's not just Atlanta. It's Atlanta at Kansas City, at Indianapolis and Oakland, their next 4 games. It's pretty good.
But this is the window that if you can sort of find a way to, like, what I would try and do is I would flip Wayne Gallman and something to try and get DeAndre Hopkins.
Would you flip Wayne Gallman and Chris Godwin to get DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't know if I would do that if I need a running back, but if I don't need a running back, then yes, I would.
Yeah, if he's my number 3 running back, I'm doing that.
Is Hopkins still your number 1 receiver rest of season?
He wasn't for me, but he was, you know, close enough that, you know, he's right there. So, yeah, I think, again, the best is yet to come for him.
Okay, so Beckham then. 2 catches for 20 yards. And so how about this? I know, Beckham's always a slow starter, right? In the first 4 games of the season, over the last 5 years, including this year, here are the receiving yard totals that Beckham has had in his first 4 games. That's been weeks 1 through 4, 4 years, and weeks 2 through 5, one of the years. 307, 303, 302, 331, and 308. He has been between 302 and 308 receiving yards in his first 4 games in 4 of the last 5 seasons. That's like a low 1,200-yard pace, and he's usually about a 1,400-yard pace. So Beckham is a slow starter, and he's on his normal pace right now. But he does have the 1 good game against the Jets. He had that long touchdown. But are you seeing anything more concerning there? And of course, Jarvis Landry now dealing with a concussion, and Landry had a huge game, and Landry had been their red zone target leader. Beckham wasn't really getting involved there. Heath, like, what do you think about Beckham? I know you kind of said it, but I want to expand a little bit.
Beckham is one play away from looking like a serious bust, right?
Yeah.
Like that one long play against the Jets. I was pretty encouraged coming into this game because his target share had actually been relatively close to what it was in New York. I was feeling like he was probably going to be okay as soon as Baker was okay, but they won this game with really good defense and a great running game. And I kind of wondering if maybe that's actually the recipe for this Cleveland offense as opposed to just winging it all over the field. I still think Beckham's going to be a top 12 wide receiver, but in the second half of that top 12, not the top six.
So okay. I would definitely put him in the buy low category. I mean, clearly there's going to be a lot of production coming. The only problem is that you also have to worry about the injury risk because he's missed 16 games over the past two seasons prior to this. So if the slow start continues for another week and they have a daunting matchup, but a difficult matchup against the 49ers based on what they've shown us so far through the first three games. They're on a bye in week four, and they're coming off of a bye with playing at home in their building. So if he has another bad game, and like, what do you have to give up to get Beckham? That's the concern. Because as you see here, Seattle, he could probably have success against them at home. New England, tough matchup. Denver could be tough matchup. Buffalo, tough matchup. You know, so it's not the easiest of schedules coming ahead for him. I think that you should still try and get him cheap, but I wouldn't overpay for Odell Beckham just based on his name.
Godwin or Beckham?
If it's straight up, then I take Beckham. But if it's having to package something, again, it comes down to what your roster looks like.
Okay. The flex on the flop them a lineup mega dud team is Adam Thielen, who did have an almost touchdown in the fourth quarter. That was nice. But he had a dreadful game, another horrible game for Kirk Cousins. But another
what was nice about an almost touchdown?
I guess not. God, you're all over me lately. Jamie's never seen Superbad, so he hates the McLovin nickname, and he's just been very beat.
You're right. I've never seen Superbad.
Never seen
true.
It.
I've never seen that movie. What's that movie about? Can you please spend 10 minutes and tell us?
No, it's not. It's just okay. Very good. You should watch it. So Thielen,
you have a horrible nickname. I've never seen the movie.
Thielen is mega dud for sure. He's our flex.
Thielen is Superbad.
He is, right, but Diggs had the good game, of course. So, I don't know. Where are you at on Thielen?
I'm scared to death of any player in Minnesota other than Dalvin Cook.
Okay, that's fair. And then
they're going to run for 200 yards against the Giants next week.
Just for fun, Delanie Walker. Well, they're going to they could throw for on the Giants. Jeez. Delanie Walker, one catch for 4 yards on two targets at Atlanta. And, yeah, he's looking like a touchdown or bust kind of tight end. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, no, he had 7 for 60 last week.
Yeah, he had 7 for 64. I think he had 49 yards before the final drive of the game.
So he had 15 yards on the final drive?
Yeah, but I think he had 3 catches. So so you don't agree with that? He's not touchdown or bust, Delanie Walker?
He's a top 12 tight end.
I don't look, next week's going to be tough for him playing the Bills, and I think if you have, you know, if maybe let's say you picked up Disley, I probably would start Disley over him and maybe try and trade him. But like he said, it's hard to find enough tight ends that are better than Delanie Walker right now.
Who started Marcus Mariota today, baby? I did.
The QB leagues, probably.
I did. One QB league because I have terrible quarterbacks. But oh, yeah. It was him or Josh Allen or Mitchell Trubisky, so.
Good call.
Yeah, yeah. Great call. Right. Got lucky. So anyway, if you want to go see
Falcons,
Marcus...
Falcons are back to free space.
They think they are. If you want to go see Marcus Mariota, if you want to go to a Falcons game, the best thing that you're going to get there are the concession prices. We know that. But if you want to go, you use SeatGeek, right? You download the SeatGeek app and football, baseball, what any sport, obviously, concerts, comedy, theater, use SeatGeek, make it your go-to app. I use it all the time. I've been on SeatGeek religiously looking for Yankees tickets, hoping that those prices come down a little bit. If I hadn't used SeatGeek before, I would sign up, I would use it, I would download the app, and I would use the promo code FFT, and I'd get $10 off my first purchase. So do that. SeatGeek pulls in tickets from all over the place, millions of tickets in one place, and you get great prices because you're not searching all these sites trying to find good deals. You're just doing it one shop, one stop shop on SeatGeek, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. So listen, like I said, I use it all the time for every event. I have used it probably 20 times Please start using SeatGeek. It's an amazing app. And use the promo code FFT for $10 off your first purchase. Again, that's SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app and use that promo code FFT. Save $10. Buy a couple hot dogs. The big news, Dwayne Haskins replaced Case Keenum in the second quarter. Now, I will say this. You guys had Keenum, you know, too high in retrospect, but he had probably two touchdowns that he overthrew, both to Trey Quinn. And that's what we were looking for. I mean, the Giants can't cover anyone, and the plays were there, and Keenum missed them. And that's more than anything probably why he was taken out of the game. It was pathetic. Josh Allen left with a concussion, or he's in the concussion protocol, and Matt Barkley replaced him. And Mitchell Trubisky left with a shoulder injury, and Chase Daniel replaced him. So
he looked better than Trubisky.
It's hard to argue that. In two starts last year, he had 21 fantasy points at Detroit and 13 fantasy points at the Giants, but he did throw for 285 yards in that game at the Giants, and Daniel would be at Oakland next week. So who's the most exciting waiver wire injury replacement quarterback here on Washington, Buffalo, and Chicago?
Daniel.
Of those three, Daniel for sure, but I'm pretty sure Gardner Minshew is still widely available.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a peek ahead to the waiver wire in a bit. Haskins gets matchup, New England, though. By the way. Let's see. T.J. Hockenson left with a concussion. Jarvis Landry, concussion. Marcus Mariota left with an ankle injury, but we expect him to be okay for Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Gardner Minshew at Carolina. I mean, he just had a good game at Denver, and he's fun. But at Carolina might be a tougher matchup. They have been terrific. He got beat up a little bit. He stayed in the game, but it was on the final possession. Just something to keep an eye on. Marlon Mack left with an ankle injury. He's at Kansas City on Sunday night. Do we know anything about Mack right now?
No.
Okay. And Kenny Stills, hamstring injury in the first half, and the Texans get Atlanta in a get-right game. Okay, early look at the waiver wire. So who are some of the hot names that we're going to be talking about on Tuesday?
I mean, AJ Brown is probably going to be in that conversation. There's now two of four games where he's played well.
Is Ronald Jones at 65%?
I think he's
too
62.
High in ownership.
He's at 65. I thought he was at 62.
He's 65, right?
Oh, okay.
It's probably some of the leagues where you can do ad drops without waiting for anything. So yeah, he'll be somebody that you look at as an ad. We'll talk about him for sure. I think both, depending on the size of your league, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison, if in fact Devontae Adams is out for an extended period of time. I don't know if there's a Colts receiver that came out of this with a indication that you could trust them. Maybe Chester Rogers.
Yeah. Cole Beasley has been pretty good in PPR.
Are people going to be adding AJ Brown and Corey Davis?
I don't think not for Buffalo. I mean, I don't think you can, right?
People will be adding them, but I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, to what extent.
I certainly think people will add Corey Davis before AJ Brown, because Brown had a big game in week one and disappeared. Mario had a really good game. He was good, and he's running for at least 20 yards every game. But again, it's Buffalo.
We had a fun prop bet with Todd Furman from Sportsline, and the rushing number over under was 21.5 yards. And he just hit the over, and that's what Todd said to bet.
Well, he hit 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, Mariota. Guys, Cortland Sutton is 70% owned. I know he's not widely available, but he's having a pretty good year. He had one terrible game, and it was against the Bears. Other than that, Sutton's been very good.
Is he a
must own? Yeah, 6 catches, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns on 9 targets. Is Sutton a must own?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, and then you want to know who I have for the early waiver wire? How about Joey Sly, Carolina rookie kicker? He's really good. He's got a big leg, and he's 55%.
Yeah, it's now three or four games where he's been very good for fantasy. Golden Tate still, you know, just with the return from suspension, not an easy matchup against Minnesota, but, you know, he should be involved, and hopefully Daniel Jones plays a little bit better moving forward. Ito Smith is still worth picking up, you know, just to see what happens. He did score a touchdown, but otherwise he was miserable. Devontae Freeman was great in the passing game, so that's starting to pick up for him, which is nice to see.
We're going to have one of those weird situations where we have to decide whether to add Jordan Wilkins or not based on limited information about Marlon Mack's ankle.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll transition.
You should probably pick him up. I mean, you know, Heath, you talked about this a lot in the offseason, that the reason I think I think it was, you were hesitant about Marlon Mack, was the injury track record. So
right.
with the way this offensive line is, I think it's an absolute must to pick up Jordan Wilkins.
So we'll transition now to winners and losers. I'm actually going to give my winner first because it really segues right into right from the waiver wire, and it's Ronald Jones, who had a nice game and scored a touchdown. Peyton Barber scored the early touchdown. Jones, his yards per carry wasn't great, but it was better than Barber's. 19 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. One catch for 12 yards. Neither of these guys does much in the passing game, which is a little bit disappointing. But do you think it's happening? Because, you know, you go into this game and you're hoping they're going to pick up right where they left off, where Jones had the better game last week against the Giants. And Peyton Barber starts the game with a touchdown on their opening drive. But it ends up being more of a Jones game. Do you think it's happening? And do you think Ronald Jones is someone that's going to be reliable going forward?
I think it's happened already. I don't think that Peyton Barber is going to outplay Ronald Jones. He may outsnap Ronald Jones. So if that matters to you, then I can certainly understand the fear. But this is now back-to-back games where they were playing with a lead, and Ronald Jones was the one at the end of the game getting those opportunities. Didn't work out against the Giants. Worked out better against the Rams here. But the game where Peyton Barber had the big performance, Ronald Jones had a little bit of an ankle injury and wasn't able to finish on the Thursday night game against Carolina. So, or was a little bit gimpy. I don't know if he came back in, but he wasn't 100%. So the things that you were hearing in the offseason are starting to come to fruition a little bit about how much Bruce Arians likes him and, you know, the production seemingly following as a result. I don't think they like him in pass protection, so those situations are not going to be in his favor. But if this Tampa Bay offense, which, you know, I'll go back to the conversation I had with Carson Palmer where he said, give it a couple weeks and they're going to start to click, and it's now 2 weeks in a row. Last week you kind of expected it against the Giants. This was a huge surprise. And, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, they could easily be 3-1. If they make the field goal against the Giants, they're a much different team overall in how you view them. And so I think from Tampa's offensive perspective, this is encouraging, and Ronald Jones would be the one that you should absolutely look to pick up. I made a poor choice in one of my leagues where I have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and Ronald Jones were the two running backs I was looking at, and I picked up Jamal Williams instead. I regret that now.
I think that's reasonable, though, to have done it at the time. It just didn't seem like one of these guys was going to be able to run away with it. Heath, why don't we start with your winners, and we'll stay in that Bucs game. Chris Godwin, 12 catches, 172 yards and two touchdowns on 14 targets at the Rams. He was better than Evans. Evans did catch a long touchdown, which was great. But Godwin, yeah, I mean, continuing a really, really good start to the season.
You know, there was this thing from Bruce Arians about how Godwin was going to catch 100 passes, and we all kind of giggled, and like, you can't catch 100 passes as a number two offense, number two wide receiver in an offense. And this is now 3 out of 4 weeks where Chris Godwin has not been the number two wide receiver in the offense. He's out-targeted Mike Evans in 3 out of 4 games. Of course, Evans had that monster game against the Giants. This was a nice bounce back. I actually downgraded Godwin just a little bit because it's the worst possible thing when you have that questionable tag. And yes, we all expected him to play, but he was also in a late game, so you kind of had to start the 1 p.m. guys over him just in case. And he was an absolute monster in this game. Jameis Winston's favorite target, and kind of looks like he's not the 1B to Evans 1A. He's the 1A.
Would you take him rest of season over Evans?
I'd have to.
Okay. Yeah. Jamie, Evans or Godwin?
You have to take Godwin at this point. You know, I mean, the nice thing is take both, you know, because you see what Evans can do. It was a bust by Marcus Peters. I don't know what he was doing on that touchdown that he allowed to Evans, because they really had Evans bottled up for the most part in this game. And then the 67-yard catch for the touchdown, because otherwise it's 3 for 22. That's not a pretty stat line for Evans. So they did a good job against him overall, but that just shows you the potential of these two guys in this offense and what they're capable of doing. But yeah, Godwin is he's the easy target. He lines up in the slot, so it's the easy throw for Winston. Bruce Arians is trying to make those throws easier for Jameis as much as he possibly can. So, you know, we've been hyping Godwin for 2 years. And, you know, this is the people who stuck with him, the ones who bought into it this year with the coaching change and everything that Bruce Arians was saying, as Heath alluded to. You're reaping the benefits of it. He's just been awesome. It's making me rethink, like, what you were saying about, you know, Godwin for Beckham.
Oh, you're already rethinking it?
I mean, it's just, you know, you're looking at it from what this offense could be. And right now, Godwin has been better. And again, the injury concern that could still be there for Beckham, just based on his track record, you know, Godwin may have the better ceiling at this point.
Okay. Heath, your other winner is Robert Woods from the same game, and Goff with a huge game, more than 500 passing yards. And Woods, I think he led the team in receiving it. Yeah, he did 164 yards on 13 catches, 15 targets. Still no touchdowns, though.
Yeah, 15 targets sounds really, really good. It doesn't sound quite as good when you throw the ball 68 times, but it's still a good number. It was a nice bounce back effort from Woods, and it kind of just goes back to the thing I was talking about throughout this week. Cooper Kupp was not taking away from Robert Woods. He was taking away from Todd Gurley. Kupp came back to earth just a little bit in this game. Woods was fantastic, and early in the game, it was all Woods and almost no Kupp at all. I still expect all three of these Rams wide receivers are going to be top 20 options for the most part on a week-to-week basis.
Okay, well, Kupp did have 121 yards and a touchdown.
No, but what I was saying, early in the game, Kupp had nothing.
Right. He also had 15 targets. He only had like a fifth of Jared Goff's passing yards. All right, let's go to Jamie's winners here. Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay was the guy that I kept going back and forth, Golladay or Godwin, Golladay or Godwin. And I think I settled on Golladay. And I have him in a couple leagues. Look, I'm happy. I'm happy. And he had a nice game. He should have had three touchdowns. Jamie only had two.
He did have three touchdowns. It was a terrible reversal. But yeah, he finished with two touchdowns. You know, I know Dave was a little concerned about like his target share and how he's been, you know, his catch rate and all those things. You know, I'll always lean on a guy that's getting the high volume of targets and in an offense that I don't think is going to go away from him. I didn't expect them to go away from him in a game where I thought they'd be chasing points. It was a much more competitive game from the Lions standpoint all the way throughout. And, you know, look, he's been good now. He's been great in one game. If you want to count this as great just because of two touchdowns, I get that. But in terms of his overall performance, I think great in one game. This was very, very good. Good in another and disappointing in one. And so as long as Danny Amendola is going to be out with this injury, we don't know how long that may be. But between Golladay, Jones, and also TJ Hockenson left the game, you know, with a concussion. So we'll see how long that's going to be out. I think this is the go-to guy in this passing attack. Adam, you talked about him having a breakout season. He looks like he's on his way to being better than he was last year and as a third-year breakout in 2019.
All right, just real quick answer here. Does it bother you with Golladay that he still has Minnesota twice, Chicago once, Dallas once, Denver in week 16, and being the number one guy getting that attention, does it bother you?
I mean, it's a concern, but, you know, it's the one of those things where, like, look at Mike Evans today. Bottled up against a good secondary and then one big play, you know, so I'm not going to necessarily panic about it. You know, if somebody wants to offer me something of similar value for Kenny Golladay, then I'll consider it. But I think for the other games that you're talking about, you know, still a matchup, and the Green Bay matchup's not easy either. So,
yeah,
you know, the matchup against the Giants is going to be great. Oakland's going to be great. You know, Dallas, we'll see. They're a good secondary. Washington's going to be great. So there's still a lot to like about that schedule moving forward, too.
All right, cool. And would you rather have Kenny Golladay or Robert Woods?
Woods and PPR, Golladay none.
All right. Your next winner is Wayne Gallman. Great game from him. 18 carries, 63 yards and a touchdown, 6 catches, 55 yards and a touchdown against the Redskins. So over 100 total yards and 2 scores. Question, though, is this the last time you're going to feel comfortable starting Wayne Gallman? Minnesota, at New England, Arizona, at Detroit, Dallas, at the Jets. We don't know when Barkley comes back, but is this the last time you feel like you're going to be comfortable starting him?
He's talking about, you know, trying to beat the timetable of 4 to 8 weeks. Jason Lockenfora said on CBS Sports HQ today, 6 weeks is about the timetable that he thinks is what he's hearing from Barkley's camp. Sell high, absolutely sell high. You know, this was the game that we were hoping for. You know, if you would have told me 18 for 63 and one, I would have signed up for it. If you were to say 18 for 63 and 6 for 55, no touchdowns, I would have signed up for it. You know, we talked about this on Tuesday. We had the conversation about how much bid points that you should spend for him and, you know, is he worth the waiver ad? If he bought you a win this week, then he's worth it. And then if you could flip him for something, he's even more worth it. So I would try and trade him now. His value will never be higher. And, you know, you got what you needed. You got what you hopefully, you know, were expecting. And then some. So this was the game of Wayne Gallman's life, most likely.
I agree with most of that. I do think you should sell him. I don't believe this will be the last time you feel comfortable starting him. I'm probably going to rank him as a top 15 option when they play Arizona. But even against New England, like Frank Gore just ran for 100 yards against them. And I think if you combined what David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen did, it was probably a top 25 day against the Vikings. So the great thing about Wayne Gallman is not his talent or his ability or his efficiency or anything like that. It's the fact that he's going to get all of these touches.
Yeah.
And so I'm still going to start him as a flex or a low end number two running back over the next few weeks.
And you're welcome, Heath, for me, you know, putting in that bid and picking him up in our, you know,
we got destroyed and we've got like $4 left.
No.
We're 1-3 with $4 left. We'd be, and you've managed this team and you're proud of yourself.
Excuse me. You did almost the entire draft. So do not put that evil on me, Heath Cummings. By the way, what you should be doing instead of bickering with your co-managers is getting Honey. It is a free browser extension that will just save you money. It's amazing. You go shopping. Here's how you download it. First of all, you go to joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Two clicks and Honey is installed on your computer. Then you go shopping online and Honey searches for coupon codes and other discounts and just notifies you for them. It applies them automatically and saves you money. So I've used it on Amazon. I use it all the time on Chewy for pet food. I used it on CBSSports.com in our store. We sell merchandise for teams, you know. So it's all over the place. You just go shopping online and Chewy's going to save you money and it's all free. It's really terrific. Honey is going to save you money. Go to joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Already over 10 million people are saving with Honey and it has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. So no reason not to use it. Download it. It's free. It installs on your computer in two clicks. It'll save you money, and you can treat yourself to something nice. Joinhoney.com/FFT. It's free. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Time for the losers now from Fantasy Week 4. Heath, you've got Mecole Hardman and Calvin Ridley, two wide receivers who had 5 and 6 targets respectively. Hardman had 2 catches for 9 yards, and he fumbled. Calvin Ridley had 3 for 32 against Tennessee.
Yeah, this is back-to-back weeks for Calvin Ridley with disappointing performances, and it's just a good reminder that they have so many weapons there in Atlanta, kind of like in Kansas City. Mohamed Sanu had a great game today. Austin Hooper had a great game today. Calvin Ridley had a down game, and it wasn't even a Julio Jones week. That's not to say that I don't want to have Calvin Ridley on my team, and I don't want to start him as a number 3 wide receiver, but he does not look like he's taken the next step to getting 7 or 8 targets. This is probably what you need for most receivers to be a number 2 guy that you're just starting every week without question. And I just think it was a good reminder for Hardman as Tyreek Hill gets closer to coming back that he's really more of a flex option that you're hoping scores the long touchdown. He's not going to be worth starting if he doesn't.
That was such a good game. Chiefs Lions was such
it was a
good
maddening
game.
If I was a Lions fan, I would be irate that they lost. And it was a frustrating game for Chiefs fans to watch. Like, it was entertaining and compelling from the fact that it stayed close, but the Kerryon Johnson fumble at the goal line and 100-yard return, like,
that
was
amazing.
Very, very frustrating.
That was so cool.
From a fantasy perspective, it was a very frustrating game. The dropped touchdowns, it was rough.
That sequence where Galladay had the touchdown overturned, followed by Matthew Stafford fumbling.
Yes.
You know,
8-point swing.
So frustrating.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. Jamie's losers are Tom Brady and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if there's anything you want to add there, Jamie. We talked about them.
No.
Okay. Well, then I got one more winner for you. It's our Facebook winner. Congratulations to Brandon from Victorville, California. You have won the contest. We had some really good answers about who people hold a grudge against, and we just got these like deeply personal fantasy football stories about being up by a few points, and then, you know, like the runner-up was probably Jamison Crowder, who didn't do anything for an entire Monday Night Football game, and then he had like one catch on the final drive, and he fumbled, and he caused somebody a game. But the winner is Brandon. Brandon said DeSean Jackson dropping the ball in before the end zone will haunt me for the rest of my days. I will never draft him. So that's who Brandon holds a grudge against. And I can imagine losing a game because of DeSean Jackson showboating and not scoring a touchdown would piss me off quite a bit, and I would hold a grudge as well. Thank you all for participating. Our Facebook group is awesome. We have Q&As where we answer your questions, where all of the listeners in the Fantasy Football Today community answer your questions. So just sign up. We're over 10,000 people. We want to get to 20,000. Look at it on Facebook. It's just called Fantasy Football Today. And make sure you're watching CBS Sports HQ. Download the HQ app, 24/7 sports streaming. News and notes, Sam Darnold not a lock for next week, according to Chris Mortensen, which just further shows you that Heath did not have mono when he came back in 2 weeks. Tyreek Hill could return in 2 weeks, according to Adam Schefter. Oakland linebacker Vontez Perfect had a dirty hit. What? And he got ejected in the second quarter. They faced
Chicago.
Let's
not let him play football anymore.
That should have been like 3 years ago. You know, it's ridiculous.
Like, you should not make proclamations about medicine anymore. Because as all the doctors in our emails have said that you are clearly wrong and don't understand the difference between going back to high school and going back to playing in the NFL.
You probably got into a lot of fights in high school, and you didn't. If you had an enlarged spleen, I would have been nervous for you, Heath.
You understand? Like, this will surprise you probably, but I have never been punched in the face.
Wow.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. It surprises me. I've never been punched in the. No, my friend Travis punched me in the face in fourth grade. I remember that very
well.
That
wasn't your friend, Adam. That was a bully. He wasn't. You weren't giving him your lunch money because you were nice. He was taking it.
Giants lost two linebackers today, already down two linebackers. So we'll keep an eye on that for Dalvin Cook. I'm going to start Dalvin Cook next week. Oakland lost an offensive lineman who was already filling in for Gabe Jackson. Atlanta lost two offensive linemen, Jamon Brown, their guard, and center Alex Mack, but Alex Mack did come back in. Detroit was playing shorthanded in the secondary, and Quandre Diggs, their safety, left in the second half. Two Chargers injuries to keep an eye on. Melvin Ingram, hamstring first half, and Denzel Perryman left late in the game, but not serious, according to Anthony Lynn. Evans left but came back. Chicago played without Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks, and if they're out next week, it would certainly help Josh Jacobs. Denver linebacker Bradley Chubb left in the third quarter. I'm not sure if he came back, and same with Marcus Peters, who had a pick six and then took a big hit. Okay, let's take a look at the top five at each position, and then we're going to get into the games with the believe it or not from Heath. But top five quarterbacks, Jameis Winston. Let me refresh, make sure I have the accurate info here. All right, so first of all, I thought Aaron Rodgers was over 30 points, but he's down to 28. It's possible that there's a correction.
He had a fumble.
He's down to 28. So that means right now, going into Sunday night, we have one quarterback with more than 30 or more fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. We've had at least four in each of the first 3 weeks. But right now, here are your leaders. Jameis, Jackson, Mariota, Stafford, Rodgers, and Joe Flacco. He's tied with Stafford and Rodgers, a three-way tie for fourth place. Jamie, your reaction. Jameis Winston, Jackson, Mariota, Stafford, Rodgers, Flacco.
I mean, obviously, Mariota is the biggest surprise, but I think Winston's right up there with him. You know, just the fact that he did what he did against the Rams, and if this is the type of quarterback play we're going to get, then you're going to be thrilled about holding on to him or, you know, still trusting him. I made the egregious error of picking up in the dynasty league that we share, Adam, picking up Case Keenum and starting him over Winston, and that's probably going to cost us a victory.
Oh, you didn't consult me.
We're brothers. In our FFT league, I started Case Keenum over Jameis Winston as well.
Yeah, just a frustrating experience all the way around. So, you know, look, Jameis is, after the awful week one, made some strides in week two against the Panthers, and then the last 2 weeks have just been blow-up performances. So there's a lot to like about Jameis moving forward. Mariota was just the abnormality today.
Is Stafford droppable because he has a bye? I know it's crazy coming off of, you know, a great game. Yeah, bye at Green Bay, then Minnesota.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, unless your quarterback situation is just completely horrible, but for the most part, yeah.
All right. So we go to the running backs here. Nick Chubb, huge game. 20 carries, 165 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 catches for 18 yards. He's number one. Jordan Howard's number two. Leonard Fournette's third in non-PPR. I think he's sixth in PPR. So it's Fournette, Eckler.
What a monster.
Yeah, man. He ran hard. He ran angry. Eckler, McCaffrey, and Gallman will round out your top six. And then what an interesting game for Todd Gurley. 5 carries, 16 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus 7 catches for 54 yards, and he's a top 7 running back.
Where's Devontae Freeman in PPR?
I don't know.
And David Johnson, too.
Devontae Freeman with 17 points in PPR. He's probably top 12. Who was the other one? David Johnson?
David Johnson also 8.
Oh, he's probably top 7 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he had 8 catches.
By the way, as good as Leonard Fournette was, Pete Prisco was actually right. They did give Reichwell Armstead more work, and he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, caught one.
Yeah, he got more work. Like, you can't handle much more than 31 touches in the high altitude than Fournette.
But they just wanted to get him going. You know, I was sitting there watching the games with Pete, and he was like, you know, this is clearly the best Fournette has ever played. But, you know, they wanted to get the young guy going.
Amazing. Fournette still has not scored a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, what do you think about Eckler? I mean, 18 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown, and 5 for 62 in a touchdown. What happens next week in Denver?
He's a top 24 back. Melvin Gordon's the borderline top 24 back. They're both good. Denver's
whoa. You're going to be ranking them similarly?
Yeah. I think it'll be a 50-50 split next week.
I'm going to guess 5 for 62 is what you should hope for in the passing game. And then 7 to 8 carries in the rushing game.
He's on pace for 95 catches. And I said the stat last week, and I think it was he had 15 or 16 catches when Melvin Gordon played last year. This is Eckler we're talking about. That's excluding the Arizona game in which Eckler had 10 catches, Gordon left with an injury. He was not a pass catcher. He was not a PPR specialist or anything like that. Do you think he will be this year?
If you say that Hunter Henry is still out and Mike Williams is still out and Travis Benjamin is still out, I can't imagine a scenario where he's not catching.
But they won't
Dontrell Inman got hurt.
Yeah, but like they won't be.
Inman got hurt too.
7 or 8, you know? I mean, they're not out for the season.
I mean, Austin Eckler is really, really good. He's going to get the ball.
If you can flip Eckler to somebody who still thinks he's going to be great, then you do it. But I agree with Heath. I think he's still going to have... It's going to be a sliding scale. You know, I think it's going to be around 15 total touches to start at the high end and then start to, you know, settle in around 10 total touches. And it just will be a matter of how efficient and effective he is in those games. The other part of it is that Melvin Gordon has missed time each of the last 3 seasons. And last year, as we saw, 4 games. You know, so if that happens still with 13 games to go, if he misses 4 games again, you're going to start Austin Eckler in those games.
All right, let's look at the top 5 wide receivers. Jamie, Chris Godwin, 1. This is a non-PPR, by the way. Godwin, A.J. Brown, Kenny Golladay. We have a 4-way tie for 3rd. Golladay, Sutton, Kupp, and Davante Adams. We've talked about most of these guys. Anything you want to say? Godwin, A.J. Brown, Golladay, Sutton, Kupp, Adams.
I wasn't doing a phone interview when my other child, Chris Godwin, was performing at a high level, so that was fun.
Oh, man. Jamie was on the phone coaching first base for his son's home run on the phone doing a radio interview on WFAN. I've seen the video.
That's
it's
awesome.
Amazing. Yes. All right. Tight ends. Top 5 tight ends, Heath. Ricky Seals-Jones, baby. 3 for 82 and a touchdown. Austin Hooper. He's okay. Wow. 9 for 130 against Tennessee.
He's a
monster. They're terrible against tight ends. Jimmy Graham. Will Disley. Yep, Arizona's even worse against tight ends. And
really disappointing effort. Really disappointing effort from Will Disley. Like, everybody else that plays the Cardinals is the number 1 tight end.
Well, he's number 4 in non-PPR. Sorry, I think he's number 2 in PPR.
Behind Hooper?
Behind Hooper.
My bold prediction on Fantasy Football Today, Sunday morning, was that he would score 3 touchdowns. So I feel disappointed.
And then I think Seals-Jones is worth a mention here. Okay, so he's number
1.
Well, what if Landry's out, who are they throwing to?
I'm glad you mentioned it because I didn't even notice.
Isn't Callaway suspension over, or was it 6 games?
I don't know.
I think it was 4.
I think it was 4 as well.
Yeah, so he'll be back, and then Higgins will see if he's able to play.
Okay. Well, you know what?
But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't want to.
He's worth mentioning.
There's only 3 targets.
Just to say that, you know, he's we'll just get it out of the way. Ricky Seals-Jones, he's Cleveland's tight end. Austin Hooper, sell high or no thanks, guy?
No thanks, guy.
No thanks, guy.
Keep Hooper. Mike Mularkey magic. He is the tight ends coach for the Falcons, and he has a pretty good track record with tight ends. Done a good job.
Also, Austin Hooper was very good last year.
Not this good. Not even close, man. You know,
he was a top 8 tight end.
Not even close to as good as he was this year. I need you to acknowledge that right now, that he's been much better this year than he was last year.
I think he's been very, very close. He had some awesome games last year.
No,
I need you to acknowledge.
Heath to be honest. I need Heath to be honest. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, like that's not a threat at all.
Okay,
everyone would just giggle if you did that to someone. No one's afraid of you punching anyone.
True. I'm afraid of hurting my hand. So here's what you should do, Heath. Look up, just multiply his production by 4. I'm honestly curious. Multiply his production by 4. He's played 4 games. And tell me how it compares to last year. Meantime, I'm going to tell you about ZipRecruiter, because hiring can be a slow process. But Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. And he also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's amazing. So see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Heath, come on now. What do you got?
Yeah, his best 4-game stretch last year was 25.
That is so not what I asked.
280 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's relatively, like, he's been a little bit better than his best 4-game stretch last year.
Okay, so how much better has he been? You didn't.
He's
do
not
it.
Going to be this. Like, no one's saying, no one's doing on pace stats after the guy has 9 for 130. That's ridiculous.
What were his numbers last year? Do you have?
Can we move on to the believe it
no,
or not?
No, I want to know if you. I want to know
and
if
I
you
had
think
him ready at 8:05. Come on, we're running out of time. Can we move on?
Chargers 30, Dolphins 10. Go.
Oh, we're starting with that game.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake matters again.
Jamie, what do you think?
I don't believe it just because they have a bye week. He's going to be dropped in a lot of leagues if you need to make a pickup for week bye.
If you're desperate, yeah, I believe it. He's better than like taking a dart throw on Alexander Mattison most weeks, I would think.
If you have Jordan Wilkins available on waivers, I'd rather pick up Jordan Wilkins with the chance that Marlon Mack is out.
Kenyon Drake is going to be one of those guys that is going to, Jamie's right, he's going to get dropped by people making waivers claims on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And if you don't get someone, he's going to be one of the guys that I pick up on Thursday or Friday.
Like, I think he's better in PPR than non-PPR. Because I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to score. He may not score at all. Like, this is a good game for him in non-PPR. 6 points. What we
Yeah. It's mostly PPR that I'm interested.
Yeah, it was 10 in PPR, right?
It was.
But that's kind of like where he's maxed out right now.
It was technically 9 if you don't play decimal scoring.
No, we're not doing that. Everyone should be playing decimal scoring. We're not going to say that we're not playing decimal scoring. It's just bad.
I didn't say that. I said it's technically okay. He has
no.
Three
it's not technically 9. It's 10.3.
It's definitely okay. So so fair enough for Drake and Philip Rivers is averaging over 300 yards per game. So you know, very good so far with a banged up receiving core. Philip Rivers or Brady rest of season.
Rivers.
Brady.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Brady probably, yeah.
Okay. Kansas City 34, Detroit 30.
DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman are just boom or bust flexes.
Believe it.
Oh, dude, like, say something bold. Say DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman are droppable. Say that. Do it again.
No, it's believe. Do you believe it or not?
Yeah, of course I believe it.
Okay. That's the only question.
But are they droppable? What am I going to do with that? With that, that's not actionable.
You only
drop
them
this week.
You don't drop them unless you're in a 10-team league and you really need to go pick somebody up like a running back. But they are just guys that you keep on your bench and you start if you're weak at flex or third wide receiver. But they're not must start options.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
What about Sammy Watkins? Because I'd like to believe that he's still good, but I can't.
I'm just going to start Sammy Watkins again, and I'm not even going to think about it.
This was just as ugly as it can get for him. He had a touchdown in his hands, punched out, and then had a fumble after the ball was in his hands and got punched out.
Yep. It was a terrible game.
So what happened to LeSean McCoy? Why wasn't he in at the end? It was all Darrell Williams at the end. I was looking for an injury and I did not see anything.
I think he's just old and he got tired.
Or maybe they were like, hey, if you run with the ball in your hand like that, just inviting somebody else to grab it.
He's done that his entire
career. I know,
career.
But like, come
how
on.
How cool was that
it
play?
It was the coolest play of the year. Like, it was, without having seen the last 12 weeks, it's the coolest play of the year. It was awesome. Okay, next game. New England 16, Buffalo 10.
We need to take Frank Gore seriously as a starting running back.
Believe it.
I do not believe it. You don't believe it, Jamie. Devin Singletary will come back. Frank Gore is Frank Gore. He hasn't been good in a while. Come on now.
No. Okay.
This is now three games in a row where he's been a good fantasy option. And so when you're looking at what the running back landscape is for a team that has a good offensive line and a good defense, so I don't think we're going to get in many games where Buffalo is chasing a lot of points. I think he's still going to lead them in carries as long as he's healthy. It's like we keep ignoring the obvious. I agree with you, Adam. Devin Singletary is better, but I don't know if there's ever going to be a situation where he leads them in carries for more than a two-game stretch at most, and that's even probably a stretch if Gore is healthy. We kept saying this last year about the Miami situation, and he ended up leading them in carries. And so as long as he's healthy and given what this team looks like with their backfield, I don't think Devin Singletary is going to all of a sudden become a 17-carry guy like we saw from Gore today.
The last 3 weeks, his touches, 21, 16, and 17. The 21 was the only game that Singletary played. His yards, 83, 89, and 109. He's their starting running back. Devin Singletary will probably take 8 to 10 touches away, maybe kind of like we saw with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler last year. But until Frank Gore gets hurt or isn't producing good enough numbers, I expect him to be the starting running back.
Okay. Believe it or not, John Brown in a non-PPR or half PPR league is droppable.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Heath, I want to stay on this game. I just want to know what you guys think about the Patriots running back. Sony Michel, 17 carries for 63 yards. He's averaging 2.8 yards per carry through four games. James White had only one carry, but he had 8 catches for 57 yards. He led the team in receiving. Rex Burkhead had one touch, came into this game banged up, and Brandon Bolden had a 4-yard touchdown run, which was annoying for all the Michelle owners. I actually think White was in the game on that play, but I'm not sure. I don't know if you guys know. But overall, no. Your thoughts on the Patriots running backs?
You can't feel comfortable about Rex Burkhead right now with any semblance of confidence. I'm sure the injury is a factor here. There was the report from ESPN Boston, Mike Reese, who said that this could be a game where they're going to feature Sony Michel, which was surprising that it actually happened. And he nearly punched one in the second half. So, you know, if I'm the Sony Michel owner, as ugly as this was, I come out of this a little bit encouraged that they still stuck with him.
Anything I say about the Patriots running back is only going to make me feel more stupid.
Believe it. Okay, Oakland 31.
But James White's still the best one in PPR.
Indianapolis 24. What do you got on this one, Heath?
Jacoby Brissett's just a top 12 quarterback, and we need to treat him like it.
Am I supposed to? Wow. Jamie? I'm always going to you first, Jamie. I'm deferring.
Oh, I don't believe it as a top 12 guy, but I think he's in that streaming conversation week to week. So, you know, this was positive. Without T.Y. Hilton in there, they was able to come away with 3 touchdowns and 27 fantasy points. I just don't know how sustainable it'll be, because I think if they're in a positive game script for them, then he's not going to be throwing this much. And so you're relying on the touchdowns. If they're in a negative game script, can this continue against a quality opponent? So going into Arrowhead, as we saw with Lamar Jackson 2 weeks ago, I think it's going to be a rough matchup for Brissett to have success.
Yeah, I'm probably going to rank him as a starter this week, especially if Hilton's there, I am for sure. I do think the thing that he has working in his favor is the Colts are kind of going the way of the Falcons last year with these injuries to their defense. And the other thing that really works well for Brissett, and this is something the Colts did last year, when they get in the red zone, they just throw the ball. And they had a very high pass-to-run touchdown ratio last year. I did not expect that to carry over to 2019 with Brissett as the quarterback instead of Andrew Luck, but it absolutely has.
What do you think about Tyrell Williams? 3 straight games with less than 50 yards, but he has scored in every game.
He's been lucky.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I get that.
I'd sell high. Sell high.
Would you rather have Tyrell Williams or an injured Jarvis Landry?
Tyrell.
Would you rather have Tyrell or a healthy Jarvis Landry?
Tyrell.
Okay. Would you rather have Tyrell Williams or Austin Eckler?
Eckler.
Okay. And Ebron and Doyle both scored. This was one of those games where I saw the final stats for Brissett, and I was like, what? Really? You know, it just didn't seem like it was shaping up to be that kind of game.
It was garbage time.
Yeah. I think we're done there. Tennessee 24, Atlanta 10, Heath.
A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, they're both worth rostering.
Don't believe it.
No, I don't believe that. Do you believe that, Heath?
I don't think I do believe it. Like, listen, A.J. Brown is not getting enough targets to where you would really think he would be this good, but it's now 2 out of 4 games where he's been an absolute monster. Corey Davis, I never really wanted to give up on, and hilariously started in 2 leagues because I was weak at receiver this week, and it worked out. The Mariota thing's interesting because coming into this week, I felt like his numbers on an efficiency basis were much better than the way that we were talking about him. He'd just been sacked so much that the offense hadn't been very good. So I guess they're going to be matchup dependent starters is the way I would look at them.
I don't know what would have happened if Mariota struggled today, though. Like, would they have actually mentioned him?
You know, when I think at all of all the A.J. Brown touchdowns and the Corey Davis touchdown today, the one thing that stands out is like, gosh, that is some terrible tackling. I just feel like I guess I can't remember vividly the week one stuff. But in this game, and I think in week one, I felt this way, too. I just felt like Mariota was gifted so many yards, and A.J. Brown at that as well. Not every time, so I'm sure I'm remembering it a little bit wrong, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like he's going out there and tearing it up. The Falcons were awful. Their tackling was pathetic in this game. So, nobody's going to buy into them as must-start guys yet, but Davis is 36% owned. So how much of a priority is he going to be for you? And again, they have Buffalo next week.
Very low.
Okay, who would you rather have rest of season, Derrick Henry or Devontae Freeman?
Henry.
Yeah, Henry. I mean, you know, he grinded his way to the 100 yards today, and a lot of that came in the second half when they were playing with a lead, because in the first half he wasn't very good. But, you know, it's kind of format-specific because it's closer in PPR. I mean, Freeman the last 2 weeks is starting to show you something in the passing game, which is nice, and this defense is back to being atrocious again.
Okay, then. Moving on, next game. Let's see what we got here. Giants. Oh, Giants Redskins. Heath, believe it or not.
You can't trust anyone that plays for the Washington football team. Dwayne Haskins was absolutely awful. It was a mistake to bench Case Keenum. I understand Jay Gruden was trying to save his job. I assume that he didn't save his job, and that's going to end sometime this week.
I'm sorry. Are you going to let us answer this, or are you just going to take it yourself?
I would like to talk a little bit more sometimes, Adam. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
You can't trust anyone in Washington.
You believe that?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this week I do. You cannot start any Washington players.
This week against the Patriots, yeah, but what about going forward?
Well, hopefully after this week, they'll make Case Keenum or Colt McCoy the quarterback, because Dwayne Haskins is not ready to play in the NFL.
You're tiptoeing around the question here. Jamie, believe it or not, you can't trust anyone in the Redskins rest of season.
I don't believe it, because Chris Thompson's still very good at what he does. So I don't think that's going to be the case. In most PPR leagues, you'll still probably start him, maybe not next week, but the majority of the way moving forward, and they play Miami in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't care who the quarterback is. You make it through streaming that guy, even if it's Haskins.
What about
McLaurin's back. Yeah,
how do you feel about him?
I'm still going to buy into him, and the hope would be is that the Ohio State connection between Haskins and McLaurin pays off.
All right. Anything on the Giants? How do you feel about Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram going forward as the schedule gets a little tougher?
Is there a problem with Evan Ingram so far this season when one of Shepard or Barkley is not there?
No, what's your question? No.
He had a game without Shepard in week two and was terrible, right?
Yeah, but he basically played all game week three without Barkley, and he was great.
Week two was against the Bills.
Week two was against the Bills. He was not great. He was six catches for 48 yards. And no, today
he was my biggest disappointment today.
That's fair. I don't imagine it's Barkley related or Shepard related.
Did you see Odell Beckham play?
But
I didn't have any Beckham.
We are getting Golden Tate back, so will that decrease the value of Evan Ingram significantly?
That might help. They have to cover someone else.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sure, it'll decrease a little bit just because, you know, the target share goes down a notch. But, you know, they're playing such tough matchups that it's going to be hard to trust them anyway.
It's going to be hard to trust Evan Ingram?
Daniel Jones.
You're still starting him, but, right. You know, you're not playing him in daily. And, you know, at this point, I think if you picked up Will Dissly or you have Mark Andrews, you know, they may be better options in the next 2 weeks against the Vikings and the Patriots.
I'm curious. Because we can get an over-under, because Daniel Jones is 92% owned, if I'm reading this correctly, right now. They play the Vikings and at New England over the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, when we're doing this show, are we going to be able to talk about Daniel Jones as a waiver wire ad against Arizona? Will his ownership have dropped far enough for that?
I think that's probably not the case, just because most likely you don't get that much of a drop unless there's like significant injuries and Mitchell Trubisky and what was the other quarterback injury today? Trubisky,
Josh Allen, and Keenum was injured. But yeah.
And then the Dolphins and Stafford are on a bye next week. So I don't know how many people are, you know, having to drop those guys, you know, make a decision for that. So he'll probably go down into the maybe 70s from an ownership standpoint.
All right, Heath, we got six games, 10 minutes. Cleveland 40, Baltimore 25.
The Ravens' defense is actually bad.
Believe it. 100% believe it. I believed it before the season.
I believe it for their pass defense, yeah, for sure. And
well, the run Brandon defense Williams. Was the problem in this game.
In this
not
game.
Brandon Williams hurt.
So Baker Mayfield, guys, has thrown for 285, 325, 195, and 342 yards. Do you feel good about Baker Mayfield going forward? He was only started in 20% of leagues, which is fine. Makes sense. But do you feel good about him going forward?
Not good,
let me ask you, let's turn around, because you said on the radio show last night that you thought this would be his breakout game, and it looked like it was happening. You know, the interception was ugly. And, you know, clearly not getting Beckham production wasn't good, because had he gotten Beckham a few more catches, that probably would have changed some of his fantasy fortunes. You can't feel good about him if he doesn't have both Landry and Beckham out there. So if Landry's hurt and with Njoku out, you know, there's only so much Beckham could do.
I agree.
He's basically Eli Manning again.
no, but I'm pretty happy with the way Baker Mayfield played. It's just a shame he didn't get that second touchdown, but 342 yards on 30 passes, that's pretty good.
This is it's funny because, like, Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield had completely opposite games.
Yes.
And Goff was the better fantasy quarterback. You know, this is where fantasy and reality split.
Thoughts on Marquise Brown, Heath? 60% started. This is two bad games in a row. Still gets targets, but production's been waning.
I am also brothers with you this week because we both started Marquise Brown over Chris Godwin in the league.
No, I started him over Mike Evans.
Okay, I started him over Chris Godwin. this was disappointing. I don't know what to make of it. It wasn't a great matchup. The connection with Jackson hasn't been quite as good as I was hoping for. It was disappointing to see Jackson throw three touchdowns and none of them go to Brown. I think he is kind of in that mold of a very, very high-end number three wide receiver that you might view as a low-end number two, but he's certainly not a must-start.
Jackson missed him in the back of the end zone on what should have been a touchdown.
He missed him, but I thought Brown should have caught that or could have caught that too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. However, they didn't connect on a touchdown.
I just want to say I thought it was a great matchup because Greedy Williams and Ward were both out again. So that's why I was excited about him. I had him in all my FanDuel lineups. Carolina 16 and Houston 10, Heath.
You can't really trust the Panthers wide receivers unless they have a great matchup with Kyle Allen.
Believe it. Next week's going to be interesting because, as we saw today, if Jalen Ramsey doesn't play, that secondary is not good. For Jacksonville.
Believe it or not, believe it or not, Greg Olsen owners are going to be very mad that they didn't sell high on him before this game.
Believe it. But, I mean, you could put the Panthers, all the Panthers pass catchers in that, not named McCaffrey. He had 37 touches today.
Yeah, wow. And finally, Heath, believe it or not, Will Fuller's droppable. oh, clip that one.
No, I don't believe it. They're playing the Falcons next week. They get the Chiefs after that. I'm not going to drop him. I'm not going to feel great about starting him either, but I'd like to have him on my bench when he scores his two touchdowns.
All right, Tampa Bay at the Rams, Heath.
Ronald Jones is a must-start running back moving forward.
Don't believe it.
Me either.
But I want him on my team.
Ditto.
I kind of think that he might. Like, I'm not going to rank him as a top 20 guy next week, most likely, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top 24. And I also wouldn't be surprised if he performs like it. Like, it kind of looks like that little glitch that we saw was just Ronald Jones pulling up lame during week two. And if it wasn't for that, we might already view him as the starter in Tampa and a top 20 running back moving forward. He looked really, really good in this game.
It is a brutal matchup, though, against the Saints. They're doing a good job so far tonight bottling up Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, their run defense has just been fantastic.
Well, now I don't have to watch the game. Great. So Todd Gurley has averaged 6.9.
You'll miss a big fumble from Jason Witten.
Hey, he's used to fumbling in primetime. Hey, 6.9, 3.9, 3.1, and 3.2 yards per carry. That's Todd Gurley in four games. Scored twice, caught seven passes. That was wonderful. But he's not Todd Gurley. Just,
nope.
I'm sorry, right? I mean, what's there to say at this point? I'm going to keep starting him. But, man, I don't know.
I'd like to see this usage in the passing game continue. But, you know, get him back up to, you know, at least 15 carries.
Yeah, he didn't have a carry until the second quarter, I don't think. And
no, but they were trailing.
Were,
I mean,
21-0.
Jared Goff. The two interceptions earlier did not help.
Okay, Seattle 27, Arizona 10.
Cliff Kingsbury's offensive system sucks in the NFL.
I believe it.
I gotta have to.
They're gonna get that kid murdered.
I was watching them today, and I was pretty excited about Kyler Murray, and I've been pretty impressed by a lot of the things that I've seen him do athletically and throwing the football. And they've got Larry Fitzgerald, and they've got Christian Kirk, and they've got David Johnson. Like, this is on Cliff Kingsbury. Things should be working better than this.
Kirk got hurt late in that game, too. Hopefully he's okay.
Yep.
Also, we're four games into Kyler Murray's career, so maybe we're judging it a little bit too harshly, but that's kind of how
he's
we have to approach it.
20 times.
Well, they run a lot of plays.
I'm not saying that Kyler Murray is bad. I want to clarify. I think Kyler Murray is good.
I don't think he's played that
line,
well.
This offensive line is not good. He has not played that well at all. You know, he's been put in some, you know, tough situations because of that line, because of the defense being so bad. It's going to be a real interesting week for week five because playing against the Bengals, that should be a game where they have some success. You're talking about a Bengals team, again, on a short week. I know they have to go into Cincinnati, so West Coast to the, you know, you want to call it the East Coast, but still early start for them. It's going to be real telling that if Kyler Murray does not have a big game there, you're going to see him probably dropped in some leagues too.
His next three games are at Cincinnati, Atlanta, and at the Giants. That's wonderful. Okay, Chicago 16, Minnesota 6.
First off, buy low on Kyler Murray. Second off, Dalvin Cook is the only Viking worth starting.
Believe it.
Do not believe it. I still think people are going to start Thielen fairly regularly going forward.
But that's not what he said.
Well, worth I think starting. They should. I just think you lower expectations big time.
And this is what I said about the Diggs Thielen thing, because I didn't even have Diggs ranked this week, which looks dumb, but turns out I shouldn't have had Thielen ranked. I don't think that there's a very good case that you're going to get games where both of these guys are good. I don't believe you're ever going to know which of these guys is going to be good. And like next week, they play the Giants. This might be another one of those games where they throw 12 passes.
Or it could be the Trubisky versus Washington game where they get him going.
They can do whatever they want against the Giants. So, yeah, I just Like, if I own Adam Thielen, I'm not sitting him. I'm just not. And I think Thielen's better than Diggs. That's what it comes down to for me. So I agree with you that, you know, it's annoying, but I think Thielen's the better player, and I am not going to sit him. Not yet. If a couple more, then yeah, I'm not believing it just yet. Believe it or not, David Montgomery is a great buy low.
Believe it.
Good buy low.
Okay. All right, one more game. Jacksonville, Denver, 26-24 Jags. Huge win.
I'm glad this one was last because this is my favorite one. Gardner Minshew is the best rookie quarterback.
Are you saying for fantasy purposes or just he's the best rookie quarterback?
Well, I mean, so far he's been just the best rookie quarterback, but I'll say for fantasy purposes, rest of the season. Yeah.
Jamie, what do you think?
Don't believe it.
Who would you take?
Daniel Jones.
I think I'd take Kyler Murray.
I'd take both of them.
I'm gonna say no. I'd take Kyler over Minshew, and I'm not sure about Jones, but probably.
Like, there is quite a difference between the matchups that Minshew and Jones faced this week.
I'm just gonna tell you because I know you think Jones was terrible, and he really wasn't. The interceptions were bad, and that's a problem. But he played well other than that, and they just didn't have that second touchdown. They had a pick six. They didn't have to throw.
He played fine other than that.
He played well. He was fine to well. He wasn't that bad. He had those two interceptions. That sucks, and that's a strike against him, no question. But he wasn't a total stink.
I'm not trying to say he was a total stink, but just fine or slightly average against Washington and two interceptions is bad.
It was disappointing, no question. All right, so
and Minshew was fantastic.
Put your money where your mouth is. Rest of the season, Minshew or Daniel Jones?
We have already made this wager last week.
Oh, yeah.
Gardner Minshew versus Daniel Jones for a must.
Crap. Oh, boy. Wow. I was really relying on
it's rest
week four.
Of season?
No, it's per start.
It's for the season, total season.
No, but it's per start because for your sake, because of the Nick Foles return, right?
Oh, so you gave Heath an out, so you're going to lose them.
Heath gave himself an out. I'm just reminding you. I think you said it's per start.
It was per start, yeah.
Yeah, per start. No, yeah, I was really relying on week four to to boost my chances of not growing a Minshew stash, for sure. Whew. Okay, fine.
There's no way you can. You don't have enough facial hair there.
I don't know.
You have Wolverine facial hair.
I don't know what it would be like. I don't know. Okay, last one. Ending the show.
I can't wait to find out.
Believe it or not, you can't trust Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman.
Don't believe it.
Don't believe it. Against the right matchup, you definitely can't.
They had the ball for 20 minutes and 48 seconds. Not good enough. That's it for the show, everybody.
Joe Flacco played really well in this game.
For 20 minutes and 48 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, you know what, though?
What's that? Just say it.
He had a Flacco go by.
McLovin, that outro, Jamie. That's Jamie and Heath. I'm Adam. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Jamie leaving early. Such disrespect. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday with some injury news and some stats to know, and then Tuesday with the waiver wire. See you later. Thanks for listening.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.